Hello, my name is Hamza Hassan. I'm 23 years old. Today's date is November 28th, 2018. I have with me my beautiful aunt, Kothar Arman, and we are recording this interview in Johns Creek, Georgia. First, I just want to thank you, Khato means aunt, for allowing me to interview today. Thank you for consenting. Mm-hmm. And I just want to ask if it's also appropriate that this interview is also published as well on the StoryCorps app and for others to listen to as well.
Sure.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate
it. You're welcome.
So we'll start off with our first question. Just basic question. How are you feeling today?
I feel well today. Feel great.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Glad we're feeling well. And since we're now in the spirit of Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving passed us, we had a wonderful dinner. What are you grateful for?
I'm grateful for so many things. And I have to say, probably first thing is health. I'm grateful that I'm healthy,
mm-hmm.
Because I think that sets the tone for being grateful for everything else. And certainly grateful for family, of course, good family. Good ties, good friends, good, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And those are excellent things to be grateful for, and I think I'm in the same boat as you,
mm-hmm.
in that gratefulness. So I just want you to, can you tell me more about just like your childhood life, and how it kind of went on, how it went down?
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Chicago, Illinois. I was born and raised there. And I was first generation. Both my parents were born overseas. I mainly in growing up, initially in our younger years, we spoke Arabic in our home. We didn't speak English outside of the home until we started school. Once we started school and, you know, English kind of became our dominant language, we maintained our Arabic language, speaking mainly with family members that didn't have a good handle on English,
mm-hmm.
but for the most part, I would say I grew up bilingual, and basically enjoyed everything, you know, from activities, you know, bike riding, playing with friends, and as well loved school and loved working hard at school. Enjoyed probably all subject matters, but leaned kind of more towards English. So that kind of led me to my college major of English and Spanish. I graduated from DePaul University in Chicago. And once I graduated, I really didn't work with my English and Spanish degree as much.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for an accounting department at a bank and then got married and moved to Cincinnati, Ohio. And,
Well, now we're here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
So in your childhood, like if you can think about your friends, how would your friends describe you as like a person as you were, like, were you happy? Were you joyful?
Yeah, I think for the most part, I was a pretty joyful person, mm-hmm. and really just enjoyed activity a lot. Although my mom did not have that same sense. So there was always a little bit of conflict. My mom grew up overseas. So her thought of young girls growing up in a household was that these girls should learn how to take care of a household.
Mm-hmm.
So playing outside to her was kind of like a frivolous act. So I almost had to kind of sneak my way out of the house from time to time. Take care of some of the things that she expected and take care of the chores. And I think back in the day, most kids had chores. So
right.
It wasn't just a cultural thing. I think it was maybe a societal norm at that time that most of us kids had chores before we could leave the house to play and have fun. But I enjoyed being outdoors and enjoyed bike riding and picking up a tennis racket and playing against a wall or any activity that came my way. I enjoyed that.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So during your childhood, how and as your life went on, how did school impact your life?
Well, I think it definitely impacted my life in terms of giving me a sense of direction and allowing me, and really teaching me more than allowing me, teaching me that time is of the essence when it comes to learning, and kind of it helped organize my time and shape my time. And I think I'll always be grateful to education in general, and you know, really look forward to pursuing more education. Mm-hmm. Even in these years that I'm in my 50s, I relish going back to school again. And I think sometimes growing up in a household that, you know, for my parents coming from a place of war to the U.S., their thought process was we need to work and we need to survive. So certainly they respected education, but I think that their mindset was that they had to survive and had to make money and had to, you know, earn a wage. So, you know, sacrificing time for school for them wasn't a huge priority, you know, but it was something that for me, I felt was a necessity and a priority. So I think school just really kind of gave me a sense of direction, without a doubt.
Definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, while you were in school, think about like more of your high school years. That's where most of us kind of find our first job, and we start to work, and it starts to teach us things. So can you share with me what was your first job, and what did it teach you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I actually started working before high school, because my dad passed away when I was young, and my mom didn't really have any sort of formal education. So she would take jobs cleaning homes and things like that, and helping in homes with cooking and organizing. And so I would go with her from time to time and help her, and did, you know, household chores and helped the elderly cleaning homes and, you know, taking care of their homes and helping them organize. Or maybe helping, being a temporary sous chef from time to time for somebody that might have physical ailments. So that was kind of, you know, I considered those jobs. But I guess you would say my first formal job, where I actually got, you know, a paycheck and had a tax ID, was McDonald's. Oh. And, you know, because your mom worked with me at McDonald's.
That's true.
We worked together. And it wasn't the best of jobs, but it certainly gave us a respect for time and a respect for hard work as well. So
interesting. Yeah. That's I mean, my first job, I worked at a warehouse, so it was definitely taught me a lot too, with timing as well. So I feel like similar things with anytime you start your first job, it does teach you a lot from right from the get-go. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I also didn't know that. I thought your first job was McDonald's, formal job, but I didn't know that you were helping Sito.
Yeah.
Which means grandmother. At the time, you know, with cleaning and being a sous chef, I didn't know that. That's actually really interesting.
And so did your mom.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah.
She hasn't told me that, so I'll talk to her when I see her. During your teenage years, what advice would you give yourself during that time? If you had like the same mindset that you have now in your teenage year, what advice would you give yourself? There's something that maybe you'd change or anything like that.
I think I would probably tell myself that there isn't anything too big or too insurmountable, that everything has a resolution, not to dwell on those things that, you know, teenagers get butterflies in their stomachs for, or to worry about, you know, what my appearance may have been, or, you know, I think I would tell my teenage self to just calm down and take it easy. It'll all work out in the end. It'll be okay, you know?
Yeah, and that I definitely think that's something that that us growing up as kids, we all deal with, and we all have problem with, is stressing a lot and having anxiety and worrying about the little things. And as we grow up, we become more wiser, and we kind of look back and say, wow, why did we ever worry about those things? You know, those things were so small, you know, we can deal with that. And I think that's just helping us deal with hardships as we grow older can just really helps us learn more.
Yeah, I agree.
So, what does the term family mean to you?
Family? I kind of find it to mean that it's... I find family to be like built-in best friends, basically, you know? Like, and certainly it's great to have friends outside of family, but I feel like family is like a glue, and it's support, and it's... Basically, I always think of family as built-in best friends, you know? Just unity.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. who is your best friend within the family? I won't tell anybody. I won't tell my mom or Aunt Dia that you said anything, but who would you consider your best friend within the family that you felt you really resonated with, people you, someone you hung out with and you always talked to if you had any problems or just discuss things with?
Yeah. Well, I mean, certainly like Khato Dia and I are very close, but I think your mom and I probably spent more of our childhood, teenage years, and early adult years together. So we were best friends and remain best friends. I mean, we were really, really close. So I would say, you know, both my sisters, but your mom at one point in my life and Khato Dia at another point in my life, you know. Yeah. But definitely my sisters. Yeah, without a doubt.
So can you kind of share a funny memory you had with any of your, with your family and your siblings or just friends in general that you can remember that kind of still makes you laugh today?
Let me think about that one.
Sure.
So it's like a funny memory that we all had. Well, you know, when you ask about family, we would get together a lot and we would have dance parties a lot and we would, you know, Because there was a lot, we were a lot of female cousins, you know. And I think on the male side, on my mom's side, there were only about four males and probably about 12 females. So the females kind of outnumbered, you know. And we would always be pulling pranks on the males and always just kind of being silly and enjoying each other's company and dancing. I can't think of any one particular time, but we just really had fun all the time, you know, and were silly and, you know, had sing-a-thons and dance-a-thons and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good to hear.
Yeah, it was fun. Definitely fun.
Okay, so as you were growing up, what was the best advice someone gave to you and who was that person?
Well, when I was growing up, in my college years, I had the opportunity to study abroad. And I kind of was bummed because it was a challenge trying to get the funds together and, you know, trying to make it all happen. And my mom had a friend who I considered a friend as well. And she said to me, there are going to always be challenges and financial challenges will always exist. But she said an opportunity like this only comes around once. Mm-hmm. And she said, never miss an opportunity like this to go outside of your normal and be somewhere else and learn about a culture by being with that culture. Yeah. And I actually took her up on that advice and I did the study abroad and really, really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It's a very life-changing type of experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you still feel like you use that advice today? Do you still think about that, you know, when you make other decisions? Like you, when you went to study abroad, that helped you make your decision. Mm-hmm. Were there any other decisions where that kind of helped you out?
Yeah, I think I use that kind of, not necessarily bravery or bravado, but that kind of sense that opportunity only knocks once, you know? And certainly there are other opportunities, but that particular opportunity to try something different or to step outside of your normal is something that you definitely can act upon and that you should act upon, especially if it's something that you know is going to lead you to a better place and is not going to harm you, but is definitely going to help you.
Yeah.
Is to push forward and never see anything as impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've learned that as well. You know, hearing that from, you know, I've heard it from, I feel like I've heard that from you as from before. I've heard it from, you know, my mom, my dad, you know, especially just my opportunity coming to Emory, you know, I wasn't sure. And, I kind of used that similar kind of advice to think, you know, this is a great opportunity to be at a prestigious school. You know, this won't come again, you know, this is graduate school. And, you know, I took it up and I think I made a really good decision.
That's good.
And I'm glad to hear that we had like similar thoughts on that. It's awesome. So moving on to the next question, thinking about your children, who are my best friends, if you could give them one piece of advice that you have given them in the past, which one, like which piece of advice would you like them to keep and apply, you know, over their lifetime, if they can only keep one of them?
If they can only keep one piece of advice that I've given them?
Yeah.
I would like for them to really, really understand that there's a lot of power in singularity and in them understanding that the decisions they make speak for themselves. I would like for them to take full accountability for their life, for their lives, and to really, really relish the responsibility that this journey brings them on, and never ever to play the blame game with a partner, whether it be a spouse or a business partner or ever. Always to look at inward and to look at themselves and to think of what they are responsible for, and not to fear that they will not receive. That you can only control what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I really would encourage them to be aware of how they are living their lives and to be aware of their singularity, of who they are as a person, and to focus on what their responsibility is. And then everything else kind of falls in place.
Interesting. I definitely think that's beautiful advice, you know, to give to anybody. And that's something to, you know, if you were to leave your children with something like that, I mean, I'm pretty sure it would definitely lead them in the right direction. So, I mean, that's a beautiful piece of advice.
Thanks.
Now, we're going to kind of shift and kind of talk about, like, more difficult times within life. Could you share with me one of the most difficult moments within your life that is just, like, so tough to deal with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think probably the most difficult time in my life was when I decided that I had to walk away from a relationship that was toxic. I think that it really kind of... it forced me to change a perspective that I had held on to for a very long time, which was, you know, obviously, you know, I was in a marriage that wasn't healthy, but my perception of marriage was that marriage was forever, and that, you know, if I walked away from this, it was like I was a failure. So, you know, in being entrenched in the problem, it forced me to rethink not necessarily my philosophy, but what is most important. And at that time, you know, what I felt was most important was my safety, and not necessarily just my physical safety, but my emotional and my psychological safety, that I had never kind of taken those into account. Whenever I thought of marriage, I thought that it has to be something that is forever, without taking into account how I was being affected. And so I think that that was a very tough place to be, but it really allowed for full growth in terms of respecting that a person is not only a physical being, but your psychological and your emotional health is just as important, if not more so important, than your physical well-being. So I think that, you know, the resolution of that relationship really just kind of pushed me in the direction of being fully aware of what it takes to be a healthy person. And sometimes it is, you know, challenging our own perceptions of what is normal, or what, whether it be societal norm or religious norm or whatever, cultural norm. Is that normal for you individually, you know? Is it helping to create a better you to maintain this relationship? Or do you need to challenge those philosophies and those notions that you had in order to be in a better place, you know? And, you know, it was a tough place to be, because I had to think of everybody that was affected, because, as you know, when I left, I picked up the kids and we all left, you know? So, you know, certainly I wasn't 100% confident in the decision, but I was 100% confident that I wanted to preserve my physical, emotional, and psychological well-being. So based on that confidence, I had to move on.
Yeah, and that's definitely a tough situation. You know, I remember, you know, making a lot of prayers for you during that time, and I just wanted everybody to, you know, be okay. And I'm glad we, you know, you and us, everyone together, was able to help you through it, and you were able to grow so much from that. And you know, it was a difficult time, but within difficult times, you did see a lot of growth, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I think one thing that I kind of remind myself is that, sure, we're going to go through, I may go through something that's very, very difficult, but it's there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that reason is for growth, it's mm-hmm. for strength, it's to prepare me for other things in life. I like the way you kind of thought of, you know, that situation as, you know, something straying, kind of think outside of your previous thinking and to think that, you know, I have to think about other things,
mm-hmm.
Myself, my well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something you really have to challenge yourself with. So,
yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. I do appreciate right. that.
And quite honestly, like that decision also was based on exonerating the person that I may have blamed for the, you know,
mm-hmm.
for the challenges and the stresses. Like saying, you know what, I have the ability to change this situation. I'm not stuck here. You know,
yeah.
once you realize that, it's very liberating,
mm-hmm.
quite honestly.
Yeah.
You know, that I cannot continue to blame somebody for my unhappiness if I'm choosing to be in this unhappiness.
Yeah.
So.
Man, it
yeah.
definitely
mm-hmm.
leads you to kind of, you know, because you start to feel a little trapped, but then
right.
you start to realize, wait, I can do this.
I'm not trapped.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
This is, you know,
mm-hmm.
I can get myself out of this, you know.
Right.
And I think
yeah.
once you realize that during a hardship, it makes a lot of things easier, and
right.
that's where the growth and the strength comes, and
right.
The better thinking, the better decision making, and
mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's
true.
That.
Yeah.
Okay. Now to talk about more about religious beliefs. What does your religion mean to you? What does Islam mean to you?
Islam is amazing to me. Like I find it to be a beacon, you know, and I find it to be a path. I think it has brought me a lot of peace in my life, and it just brought me a sense of direction as well, just like education.
Mm-hmm.
Because Islam to all of us is education. It's
yeah.
it's a structure for living life, and it's and it gives you, like, Islam, you know, and it really makes me sad that, you know, our society here in the U.S. doesn't always kind of see Islam in this way.
Mm-hmm.
That Islam gives you the ability to be as human as you were intended to be.
Yeah.
You know, that Islam asks us to be as human as we intended to be. And that's what I love about it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Is it allows me to realize that I'm here right now as a human being, but I'm not gonna be here permanently. So it asks us to enjoy the time that we are here, and to do so in the safest possible way, so that not only do I keep myself safe, but in keeping myself safe based on Islamic principles, I'm also keeping the next person safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So there are prohibition on drinking in Islam, and I've chosen to adhere to that prohibition. And when I think about it, I think, gosh, how amazing that Islam asks us as human beings not to drink alcohol. Why? Because it keeps us of sound mind and sound body,
mm-hmm.
so that when we're out on the road, driving a car, or riding a bicycle, or operating anything, machinery, equipment, that we are not only keeping ourselves safe, but keeping those people that are around us safe as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that about my faith, that it asks me to be responsible for how I act so that I'm not harming others around me.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and there's so much beauty in Islam. I mean, Islam is amazing. I like to listen to scripture in the morning. It really kind of sets the tone, and it not only tells me or gives me a standard, but it highlights everything that we are given as human beings.
Yeah.
You know, everything's a gift. Everything here in front of us is a gift. Islam is just amazing.
Yeah.
In my life.
Yeah, and I can say the same thing. It's
mm-hmm.
it's made me who I am today.
Mm-hmm.
It's helped me through hardships. You know, just it makes me feel close to
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel blessed. It makes me feel grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And our prayers and, you know, our five daily prayers really help us get through our days. You know,
right.
we don't.
And it's about gratitude, too. Like,
yeah.
our prayers are for gratitude. Like, you know, so many times we cruise through our day. We cruise. We're in, you know, cruise mode, you know, cruise control, I guess is what you'd say. But we don't stop to think that I got from point A to point B safely. Who do I, you know, that's so amazing, you know, with all the things that can potentially happen on the road and all the things that can potentially happen, all of the aggressive acts that we hear about on the news. If we get from point A to point B safely, we really, you know, need to show our gratitude for that, you know, and we pray to Allah. But for anybody that, you know, wants a sense of a higher being, you know, take that moment out in your day, stop in your day and say thank you, you know, for getting me to point A to point B.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it really is divine intervention that gets us from point A to point B. Yeah. When you're on the 85 and you're driving with these crazy drivers, you know that it's divine intervention.
That's definitely.
Honestly.
Yeah, and this gives me a sense of, you know, we're so busy throughout our days and we tend to forget about, you know, God, we forget about other things.
Mm-hmm.
And when you kind of slow down in prayer, you start to just forget about all the stresses that you had. You let go of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of just talk to God. You complain to God.
Right.
You ask Him for continual blessings. You
mm-hmm.
you know, just being with God, is if you feel comfortable. And,
right.
And I think, you know, that's what's so great about our religion. It just keeps us closer to God and keeps us at peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our inner peace.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so just moving on to the next question. Can you tell me about one or two people who have been the biggest influences on your life?
Sure. I think I would have to say the first influence that has to be discussed is my father. I think I only had him for a short time. He died when I was about 9.
Mm-hmm.
But he was such an amazing presence that I think I always try to model my parenting style after his. He was very balanced as a parent. He was very loving. He was very friendly. He was very caring, very funny, and knew how to be silly with kids and knew how to really enjoy kids and show and make kids feel special. So I would definitely have to say he's probably just the most amazing role model that I've ever had.
Yeah.
And I think I'm so thankful to having had him, even if it was for a short time, but he just was such an amazing presence in my life, such a calming presence, you know, and a reassuring presence. Like, we always felt safe when when we were with him.
Yeah.
So definitely he would be number one. And then I'd have to say my mom as well. You know, I can't leave her out of the mix. She wasn't as natural a parent as he was. She had some anger issues and maybe some maybe some self-esteem issues, but she really was a very, very social person, and you know that, how social she was. She can make a friend out of plastic. I mean, she knew how to talk to people, loved inviting people to her home, was a very, very gracious hostess, and really respected giving. She loved giving. You know, she didn't have much, but she would give the shirt off her back if she could. And I think I really did just kind of, you know, genetically kind of get that from her, you know. So I'd have to say both my parents.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I always think about in life is I kind of wish I met my grandfather, you know, since, you know, I'm named after him, you know, and we hear so many stories you've told me, my mom has told me. You know, hopefully one day can see him up in heaven and just be with him. I just, you know, have a chat with him, you know.
Yeah.
From all the stories you tell me, I mean, he seems like just such a beautiful individual. And I'm sure if he were alive today, I would just love to be by him. I'd love to be near him.
Mm-hmm.
And a
very pleasant person.
Yeah. And I hopefully God gives me the opportunity to see him, you know.
Did you ever see him in a dream?
I've never seen him in a dream, but I know you have seen him in a dream.
Oh, I died of seeing him in a dream,
Yeah, and I bet you wish those dreams would last forever.
Yes.
Yeah. And I kind of wish I could see him in a dream, but hopefully, God willing, I will be able to see him one day. Yeah. So this is our last question.
Mm-hmm.
This one is just it's a big question, but something that my dad had once told me before I started college and when I was applying to colleges. He asked me, He asked me about, like, how do you want people to know you as? How do you want people to remember you? What's your big moment in life? When you pass, what do you think? How do you want people to think about you? Do you want, like, what's your impact you want to leave on this earth? And it really resonated with me, and I wrote my personal statement on it for colleges. And I really thought that was a big reason why I got accepted into some of my colleges, because I was so into my personal statement, and that really helped me find a direction in college as well. So I'm going to ask you the same question, because it really helped me out. So when it is your time to pass, how do you want people to remember you?
Mm-hmm. It's a good question. I mean, you know, and I think, you know, for me being in my 50s, you know, certainly I've contemplated what I stand for and what I believe in. I think I have always kind of been a natural nurturer, you know, that kind of came naturally to me. Even as a kid, I would see a baby and think, oh, that baby needs to be covered with a blanket, or, you know, so I think that I value that side of me, and I think I would want people to remember that, and that I truly, truly believe that our actions speak for who we are as a person. So I would want to leave this earth with people feeling that every action was motivated by good intention. You know, that that I was action oriented, and that I wasn't just here to speak, you know, I was here to get things done. You know, and I really do feel that as a personal mission, because I feel that we were created as human beings to move. Every part of us moves. We talk, we look, we watch, we do. And I feel that it is about action and to accomplish whatever it is we can in the short time that we have. So, you know, I would want people to kind of go, you know what, she got things done. You know, she did what she had to do. You know?
I definitely think you've lived up to that. I mean, you're an amazing person, amazing aunt.
Oh my goodness.
Who shelters me from all the way from Chicago, allowed me to go to school. I appreciate everything from you. Thank you for all the questions. That concludes our interview. Appreciate for the wonderful answers. There's definitely some things that I learned about you that I didn't know beforehand during this talk. And I really do appreciate you allowing me to interview you. And thank you so much. And that's all.
Thank you.
Are you finished with this recording? You will not be able to resume. I am finished.